and welcome to the 29th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. I am one of your co-hosts, Samantha Blackman. I'm an associate professor at Purdue University here in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana. And tonight I am joined by my two co-hosts and a special guest. My co-hosts, as usual, are Alex Lane and Sarah White, and our guest is Nicole Marie. Ladies, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Guests first.
Yes.
Ready?
Does that mean me?
Guest, yes.
I'm Nicole Marie. I am a super senior at Purdue University studying professional writing, and I play a lot of video games, so I guess that's why I'm here.
Awesome. Ladies?
Well, that's cool. I'll go.
Yeah.
Okay. I am Alex Lane, and I am also at Purdue in wonderful West Lafayette. I'm very excited. They opened up a new game arcade here. I believe, I have not been in there yet, but I believe it is all pinball machines. So I had a heart attack when I heard that and then passed out. But when I awoke, I found that it was true and not a dream, so I'm very excited, and I'm going to have my upcoming birthday there. Oh, I study games. Also. We're on episode 29. If you don't know me by now, you figured out.
Oh, that was a really good song by Simply Red, remember?
Yeah, but
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Me by now. Okay.
I'm just going to let that go and let you think that Simply Red did that song first. Go ahead.
First bird of the podcast.
She just likes to beat me down. But I am glad to be back amongst the ladies of Not Your Mama's Gamer. And I am joining you from Michigan City, Indiana, which where I teach at Purdue University North Central. And I do apologize for the strange squeaks and growls that you hear periodically. I have two puppies that are running around to be tired. And they're two little Chihuahua puppies that are smaller than guinea pigs. And they are wrestling.
Gotta love a yippy dog, don't you?
Yes.
By the way, for those who don't know, including Sarah, if you don't know me by now, it was originally done in the 70s by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
I didn't know her too.
I didn't know her, Melville and Simple Notes or whatever.
Yeah, simple is the key word there. Simple is the key word. All right, ladies. So tonight, as in every podcast night, we'll start with what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking. We'll start with our usual what you're playing. And before Alex jumps in and
I'll
goes
go first.
We will let our guest go first.
Dang it.
Oh, Nicole, man. Would you like to tell us?
I got crap about talking over the guest 1 week. That's why this is happening. Just so you know. I will decline to speak first if my life is on the line. I will still decline. So please, Nicole Marie.
All right. So I didn't get to play too much this week, but I did get a chance to play the Mass Effect 3 demo, which I was actually, Sam and I talked about this before, but I was really disappointed with it. Like, I was not, story wasn't bad, but the rest of it really wasn't good. The graphics were bad. I wasn't excited about the mechanics at all. So I'm kind of hoping that was just bad beta version of it. I got a new map because I'm an elite member for Modern Warfare 3. Mm-hmm. Overwatch just came out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I'm not really a big fan of that either. I think it's because they finally took a map and they made it large scale, like similar to Battlefield. And it's not working so well for me for Call of Duty, I guess. But
isn't that the one that like takes place in the under construction building or something?
Yeah. But it's like it's really expansive compared to all the other maps. Like the other map drop they had in January had Liberation, and that was the biggest map that they had probably made for this one yet. And then Overwatch came out, and it's just, it's too busy for me, I guess. People blend into there more. And then there's also all those sneaky places that the snipers can go out to on the cranes and shit that's all around there. So I'm not a fan. I'm not a sniper. I like to run around and shoot people, so that's how I play. Running.
I'm 100% on your side. You keep those snipers on a different map. I want to, like, here's my thing. Like, I don't care if I die in the process, but I want to go into the middle of a pack and take out, like, 8 motherfuckers with me. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly.
Like, I die. My ratio is always terrible, but...
Mine too, because I probably die the most out of anyone on my team, but I also have the most kills because I'm just running out
the
and I'm getting
kills,
like
the most assists, the most captures. I feel like that's the way to play, right?
I agree. Who wants to camp somewhere?
Oh my god! But if I wanted to just sit in a corner and play with myself, I wouldn't turn on my Xbox. Okay, I want to get out there and see some action.
Do you recognize how that sounded? If I wanted to sit in the corner and play with myself.
Wow. That's completely inappropriate, and I can't believe you would suggest that I would say such a thing. I'm offended.
I'm shocked already. Boy.
Oh, no, we can't get the giggles this early.
All right.
Run and gun.
Okay, I'm sorry, Nicole. I cut you off. What else you been playing? Anything or just the new map so far?
Basically those two, and then of course I'm always adding to my hours on Skyrim. So
yeah.
Well, I can go next actually, probably because I also did not play as much as some of you as I see on the lists. I'm dying actually to hear Samantha talk about Kingdoms of Amalur. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
And I played a little bit of the demo on Steam. And I wasn't overly hyper about it, so it just was so much, at least the beginning part, so it was so much like Lord of the Rings to me. So I'm still trying to, I don't know, I'm assuming it gets cooler, because I like the guys who made it, of that game. And then I played some more on my bubble shooter. I think I can still say that one. I'm only allowed to say certain games after a certain amount of time. I played WWF, of course, and then I played
Duck.
Some more... Fable 3, which I have in my possession, and that was really all I got to this week. But I did play Scorgasm. Did you guys see that?
No.
On Steam? Scorgasm.
Uh-uh.
And I thought it would be the perfect combination of shooting, sex, and gaming. You know, Scorgasm, can you go wrong? But it was really simple, like sort of an asteroids kind of thing, and it wasn't as cool as it could have been. But it was, you know, kind of written in pink, and it had gasm in it, so... So I gave it a try.
And it so that made fun. You think it was going to be good, huh?
Well, I equated it with sex, and I was disappointed.
Oh, I it have wasn't something really funny me. To say, but I can't remember if we had this conversation on or off recording, so I'll keep it. Just remind me after the podcast. Alex, what was that hilarious response that you had to Sarah? And I will tell you guys.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
All right. Well, Alex, you want to go ahead and go next, and
no.
I will last.
Oh no, please. Okay, I'll go next. I felt Sam just like getting enraged as soon as I said that, so I will go next. I played some stuff. One, I for Valentine's Day had a very very romantic weekend that went something like this. One, getting Hop Slam. Two, getting barbecue ribs. And three, playing Portal 2 co-op for 12 hours straight. It was so much fun. I had not, as much as everyone wants to give me tons of crap for this, I haven't played Portal. So I didn't know the cake was a lie. I got plenty of crap for this, didn't I, Sam?
Yes, you did.
Plenty of crap.
As you should. Right. As you should.
As well I should. Sure. I played Portal 2. That was really fun. I played a new game called 1000 Amps, which I was really excited because after I played Bit Trip Runner, I'm sort of been like trying to find games that that combined sound and play. So like when you jump, it makes a sound. When you dive, it makes a sound, etc., etc. But it wasn't that type of game. Not that it was bad, but it wasn't that type of game. It was more sort of like I don't know. Just kind of run around through these different, like a side scroller sort of puzzle platformer type thing. I have of course been playing Hero Academy. Dwarves.
Oh yeah.
Everybody's playing that game.
Oh god, that game's awesome. I played the Amy demo on Xbox, it was not, I did not enjoy it all that much.
I don't even know why I warned you.
Well, I felt like if I only had six things on my list that you would cut my throat. So I wanted to play something more.
Oh my gosh. Does that mean that she really wants to cut my throat?
Yeah. She wasn't kidding. She wants to cut all our throats all the time.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, that's why
I don't often have that much.
That's why I played it. And then I also did, I played a ton of Triple Town. I bought the upgrade so I have unlimited turns because I had been just, it's kind of like meth, I imagine. So I've been like scratching my arms trying to like wait for more turns to pop up and I couldn't. So I paid the $4, which is a ridiculous price for a phone game, but whatever. So I absolutely love Triple Town. It's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's fun. You can play the demo for free. And then I played Penumbra, which is, I know, sort of an old indie game, but people really like it. And then I also played Realm of the Mad Dog, which is my indie game of the week, so I'll talk about that later. That is what I played. Sam?
I was pretty amazed by that Realm of the Mad Dog because I had never heard of it before.
Well, it's weird. I read about it because it was like this post on the Indie Gamer website, and they were like, yeah, for all you assholes who don't buy games unless they're on Steam, here you go. It's finally on Steam. And I was like, oh, that's me. I'm sorry.
Whatever. You know, I was thinking about writing a blog about that, in fact, because Forbes magazine or whatever had reported that the average gamer spends $17,000 a year.
Yeah, but if you read that article, you would know that that's crap. Because
the lady dismantled it, yeah.
Because they were talking about everything that, I mean, and I spend some pretty serious cash on games and like TVs and stuff like that. And I don't, and half that shit I don't have.
Yeah. And they're probably thinking if you have to buy the consoles anew every year or two, maybe. I don't know.
No, you get new consoles like every 5 or 6 years, man.
Yeah.
That's when they come out. They don't come out every, you don't get a new console every year.
Well, I mean, no, not of the same type, but you might get like a Wii and then a PS3 and then like, you know what I'm saying? Like you could buy a console every year. It's just a different one.
Not that many consoles come out.
True. Apparently, I buy them 1 year at a time. That's why I'm behind.
Well, what the hell are you doing? Buying like Atari 2600s? I mean,
I still have mine.
Well, I do, but I didn't have to buy it.
Well, I did. It was like $200 back in the day.
How many Ataris do you have, Sam?
All right, I'm going to stop giving Sarah shit.
I know.
I don't believe that for 1 second, but
you should. I don't either.
That's okay. You should. That's okay. Because I won't.
I know. That's how she says she loves me.
Uh-huh, that's exactly what that is.
That's what I tell myself so I can sleep at night.
Oh.
I know.
See, now I feel bad. Okay,
how much would you say the average gamer spends?
I mean, that's like impossible to say off the top of your head, but what I'm saying is you don't need to spend $17,000.
Yeah.
You don't spend that much. I mean, because they had them buying stuff like console coolers and, you know, crazy stuff that people don't buy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the average gamer.
Right, exactly.
Right, that's a hardcore gamer.
No, not even hardcore gamers buy console coolers. Really? Come on.
And if you do, like, you would buy one
console in a well-ventilated space.
Well, yeah, you might buy, like, I know some people who buy special cooling fans and stuff for their PC, but they buy it, like, once every 5 years or something, you know?
Right, yeah, that's not something you replace every month or something.
No.
It was just crazy altogether. We're going to have to look through that. And
unless you count, like, Hot Pocket purchases.
Yeah, I think it would be, well, especially, you know, Cheetos.
That's delicious.
Your monster. But no, I think it would be interesting because you know how a social class is big right now, you know, with the 1% and Occupy, and there's just a lot of an interest in how money is being spent. So I thought that was an outrageous number, but I thought you could rack up a pretty good bill with some of the gaming though, between subscriptions and new releases. I don't know.
Well, All right.
Me.
So, for me, I've been playing some stuff. I too played the Mass Effect 3 demo, and I think, like Nicole, I was underwhelmed, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting so much more. I wanted to be like drooling when all was said and done, and what it did was made me not pre-order it and say, you know, really, that might not be a day one purchase for me. It was like 10-minute cutscene, shoot some people. 10-minute cutscene, shoot some people. I mean, and I understand that this is a demo and this is a section of gameplay and not necessarily in the game, but they could have chosen a better section of gameplay to really draw people in. They went too much for cinematics and not enough for gameplay, which is good if you want to draw in. And this is going to come up definitely when we talk about news. If you want to draw in new gamers who either have not gamed before or who do not generally play this kind of game. But if that's who you're trying to draw in, you're not going to draw them in with a demo anyway, because they're not going to play the demo.
Yeah, they won't even pick it up.
Right. I mean, they've got to be pulled in some other way. It's not really going to be through the demo 9 times out of 10. You know, that being said, maybe they thought they would, you know, do it because they had the connection between the Mass Effect 3 demo and, you got stuff from the Mass Effect 3 demo for Kingdoms of Amalur.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so maybe they thought they would draw in more traditional kind of hardcore RPG people, because if they played the Mass Effect 3 demo, you got stuff for it. In-game for Kingdoms of Amalur. Maybe that's, you know, what they were thinking, is that they were already going to get a different audience and this was their way of drawing them in. I don't know, but like I said, I'm underwhelmed. We'll see what happens. I always say I'm not going to buy something and then I end up buying it anyway, so hey, what the hell. We know how well that worked. I'm not buying the 3DS.
I've never believed you when you've said you weren't going to buy anything ever. In fact, when you buy it, you order it online and then you can't wait and go and buy it in the store.
Okay. Well, you can suck it, because you know what? It's February 23rd and I still don't have a PS Vita.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
that is some restraint right there. Definitely.
Hey, you can unlock the box at Taco Bell and you could win one.
Okay, I'm not eating Taco Bell.
There are so many things that are hilarious in what you just said, but please continue. Oh, gross. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that real soon to explain a lot of this conversation.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Again, this week, I've been playing tons of Kingdoms of Amalur. And I'm still loving it. You know, and I've been getting shit from people for saying I like it better than Skyrim. I really have been.
That's surprising.
Wow.
And I'm going to finally explain why.
Right? Ooh, I'm very excited. Are you going to talk about that one article? Maybe? A little bit?
Well, I mean, it's probably a lot of it is the same. It's for the same reason. I think that article's full of shit, but... because I mean, that it's the same landscape of any fantasy, any fantasy RPG.
That was my response to you. Sorry. Go ahead.
So, you know, to say that it looks like WoW and it's a WoW ripoff is bullshit. But I think I like it for the same reasons I liked WoW when I played a lot. And I like it probably more for the same reasons, because I had a habit. I had a monkey on my back with WoW. And I would often stay up way too late because I was, you know, I felt beholden to my guild. If I was playing with folks, I couldn't just stop no matter how late it was. Mm. And I mean, because, you know, we had started something, we had to finish what we started. That being said, with Kingdom of Amalur, I'm playing by myself. Mm. And I get a lot of the same feel as I get with WoW, because and Alex knows this about me from playing WoW. If I start a quest, I gotta finish a quest.
So we had never played WoW together before, and so I'm a read zero quest text, get as many quests as you can, and just go into this area and kill everything and to complete the quest, right? And like
hack do and all slash.
These hack and slash, go in, right? You're killing these things and then you stop at this guy and then you kill these and then you stop at that, you know, so like go. And Sam, I thought she was like falling asleep while she was playing because she would like go to a person and stand there. And I swear to God, Sam, I did not know what was happening. And you're like, calm down, Alex. I'm reading the quest text. And I was like, oh. And then so like, I would go pick up 15 quests, we'd do two, and then I'd be like, okay, I'm off, see ya. She's like, what? What? No, we can't stop. We have all these quests that are open. I'm like, well, who cares? And you're like, no, that is completely inappropriate.
No, if I start a quest, I gotta finish it.
That is so interesting.
And Avalar gives me that, one, it gives me that ability, and it gives me a good understanding of how long it's gonna take me to finish quest, right? And the quests are, you know, are simple, right? Simple enough that you can just do them. You can sit down and start a quest and finish it and know that you can do two or three and it won't take you like 6-7 hours.
Are they like go out and kill 10 rats?
There are some of those. Okay. There are some of those. But then some of them are, you know, I mean, a lot of them. I mean, what RPG isn't full of fucking fetch quests?
Well, I don't hate them. I mean, they give you good practice and stuff. I'm just curious.
But a lot of them involve going to, you know, going through dungeons and doing things. Whoopsie, that was me. Going through dungeons and doing stuff in order to kind of, like, help the lore unfold. So it's not simple fetch quests. It's not go out and kill 10 bunnies. Not usually. There are some of the go kill 10 bunnies, but it is usually connected to the lore in some way. Which is what, and that's, I think, one of the reasons that I really like it, not only kind of the bite-sized nature of it, because I can't do that in Skyrim. I go into Skyrim, and while, no, it's not an MMORPG, it's like, you can't go in and spend an hour and leave. You go in, and you spend an hour, and you feel like you're just getting started. It's like, I haven't even found a fucking dragon yet, and I've been walking around for an hour. Right?
Yeah.
You gotta kill at least three before you go to bed.
Right. I mean, you can't do the same kind of thing. And that's why I like Amalur, because I can do it. Not that I have done it. There are very few times that I've gone and actually played for like an hour. But I know that I can if I want to. And I like the combat. I like the combat a lot. I like this notion of fate and fate shifting. I'm really digging this. I'm really digging the face shifting and the finishing moves, because I have found myself, and I think I told Nicole this the other day, I found myself like screaming at bosses as I go into like fate shift mode and I'm hitting the button and I'm all like, I'm about to fate shift your ass. And I'm like, oh, sorry.
Gotta calm it down.
Because I'm screaming at the TV. So a lot of different reasons that I like it. I like it because it's not Skyrim. And there's not as much of a time commitment, even though I spend way too much time. And I actually ashamedly have to admit that I did sit one night because I've had really bad insomnia for the last couple of weeks and played for like 12 hours straight. That being said,
I also would like to point out that you haven't had more than 3 hours sleep in like 2 weeks. So
yeah, probably. Oh, you're probably about right.
That also might be why she's threatening to cut your throat so much, Sarah. So
it could be. Sorry.
Yep. Still playing Hero Academy, and the dwarves came out this week, so I'm learning the dwarves. I think everybody is right now. I'm
just getting crushed. I mean, absolutely crushed.
You are such a liar.
What?
I beat you, man.
What?
I beat you.
Did you hear what I said? I said I'm getting crushed.
Oh, I thought you said I was getting crushed.
No, I am getting crushed in every possible way a human being can get crushed in a game. I am getting crushed. Like, beat with all of my characters still, like, in my door and all that nonsense. So, no. I have no delusion about how well I'm doing.
Okay, so Hero Academy. I'm also playing when I'm like my grocery store standing in line game right now when I don't have any Hero Academy turns is Ticket to Ride Pocket still. I tried out the Zynga Tiny Towers ripoff Dream Heights. And then EA came out with one as well called Monopoly Hotels. So they're both Tiny Tower kind of ripoffs. Dream Heights is almost exactly like Tiny Tower, just better graphics. Well, not better graphics, because Tiny Tower is quite cute with the little 8-pixel, with the little 8-pixel guys. Dream Heights is more traditional kind of Zynga graphics, but it's the exact same game, just different graphics. Monopoly Hotels looks a lot like Dream Heights, except it's very strange in that you have to do shit like catch money as it's falling out of the sky. And it's a lot more nitpicky, time intensive, and it takes away any fun of it, if you ask me. I actually installed it, played it. I played it for probably off and on for about an hour or so, and then went, fuck this, I'm not doing it anymore, and uninstalled it. Both were iOS, both were free. And with Monopoly, it forces you into microtransactions, because after you play for an hour or so, basically you're not playing anymore unless you start buying stuff. So both of those I played. I played a bit of Puzzle Arcade on Xbox Live Arcade, which is actually just what it sounds like. It's a puzzle. You take a picture, make it into a puzzle, and then you put it back together. And I was like, really? I got tons of puzzles. No thanks. Because it's insane. It makes no sense whatsoever. I got one big one I'm going to save for last. I played two kids games this time around. I played the Smurfs, which is actually based on the latest Smurfs movie. This was a game for the DS that I bought for P. And it, you know, is clearly a kid's game. It has stuff like dress up Smurfette and do coloring pages. And so it was pretty funny because I was reading reviews as before I ordered it, and people were like, clearly this game's for a 5-year-old. And I'm like, it says dress Smurfette and color the Smurfs. Who the fuck did you think it was for? I mean, if that's how you roll, I'm all right with that. But don't complain about it afterwards. So I bought that one. If people are looking to buy games for their kids, it's very cute. It's connected to the movie, but it is totally counterintuitive to everything. The iconography even is totally counterintuitive. Like, there's an icon that has like Painter Smurf doing stuff with two other Smurfs. And you're like, okay, clearly I'm going to click on here because this is where the coloring pages will be. No, they're not. They're somewhere else that has an icon that's totally unrelated to art in any way, shape, or form. And they don't do any explaining of how to play any of the little mini games. It's a series of mini games. You just have to kind of figure it out. And the figuring it out is totally counterintuitive. So if you like catch it on super sale and decide your kid or your kid really, really wants it, just be prepared to sit down with them and explain to them at least 2 or 3 times how to do this until they've kind of taken it into their memory and they can actually do it on their own. After that point, it's pretty much fine. That was the Smurfs. And then I played Lola's Alphabet Train, which was a DSware downloadable title that is just kind of matching the letters of the alphabet to like little bubbles on a train as Lola the panda rides through this scenic landscape. It was 100 points. It really was a waste of 100 points. But my kid likes pandas and is learning in the alphabet. So, you know what? Hey, whatever it takes.
When are they switching from points to money? That's happening soon, right?
I don't know.
I think it's supposed
to be. That's what they said. But because we do something with that at GameStop, but I'm not really sure when it is switching over because we... like the whole appeal of us selling DLC is that you can just pay straight up for it. Mm-hmm. So they're like taking that away from us. So they're like making a big deal out of it at GameStop.
So maybe they announced it and didn't realize the repercussions and are now sort of backing off.
Yeah, it might be that.
Hmm. Okay, and the last game that I played this week, God, this is another week that I played a lot of games, was Resident Evil Revelations for the 3DS.
Mm. How's that?
It's actually pretty good. I actually had to, and I was telling Nicole this, I think it was either Nicole or Alex this week, I actually had to track this one down. I went to 3 stores that were completely sold out before I actually found it, which was shocking to me because that's never happened. That's never happened to me before here in this wonderful little town. That especially being a 3DS game, I'm like, who the fuck in this town owns a 3DS except for me? But clearly with the price drop, people actually went out and bought it because I had my 3DS in my bag. I had been playing in my office one day, and I had walked to a meeting on one side of campus, and I came back and went to the Union and got coffee and walked around. And when I actually got home that night and plugged it in and said, "Oh, I'm gonna play," I actually had like picked up people's Miis and quests in Revelations because people on campus had actually had 3DSs and Revelations and had them on.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm like, people actually went and bought this damn thing. Yeah. I'm like, I might actually have to keep this on in my bag now. The game is actually pretty cool. It feels more like they're going for old school 1996-ish. Was that when the first Resident Evil came out? Resident Evil. Because I was like, Jesus, I was playing. And I was like, I've been walking around for like half an hour and I have yet to run into a zombie. They do a lot to build up this kind of anticipation before you actually hit your first zombie-ish monster. Which is actually pretty cool. And you play as Jill Valentine. And you're looking for Chris Redman and someone else I can't remember off the top of my head. Because as Alex said, I've had like 3 hours of sleep in the last couple of weeks. And it was actually pretty good. It's actually been pretty good gameplay. The monsters are monsters / zombies / bio, whatever the fuck they are they're actually bioterrorist weapons is what they are. They're man-made from a bioterrorist weapon. That they tell you about the story at the very beginning. And it, with it being on the 3DS, the graphics are great. I've got my 3D turned down to probably still less than half. Because I still haven't found anything that really makes me need to turn it up too much. I mean, I know that I've heard that the new Mario games kind of almost require it, but I haven't played any of the new Mario games yet. So, but yeah, I've got it turned down to probably less than half. And that's more for just depth and clarity than any kind of real interaction I'm getting with the 3D. That's all I've been playing.
That's a small list.
Come on. Yeah.
You know you really need to start pulling your weight around here, Sam.
I know, clearly. Clearly.
Jeez.
All right. So what you reading this week, ladies?
I declined to speak first.
Oh, but you should.
I have not read much, I will admit. Talk about not pulling weight. That's me. Right here. Right here. Slacker.
We read 2 things in class. So Sam and I probably have a similar list. We read Lisa Nakamura's Digitizing Race.
Mm-hmm. Oh, neat.
Which is an incredible book. And it's what? I felt like it was really old because I read it when I first got here. But now I'm starting to think that it was just a couple years old, right? 2010? What?
Sorry, I hit mute by mistake.
Oh. I'm like, you talk too fast. You put a whole sentence into one noise. So like 2010, something like that.
Okay, now I gotta look because I just, it went right out of my head as soon as you said it.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, so that book is really awesome. So people should read that if they are interested at all in race, gender, even like, even if race and gender studies isn't really your thing, there's so many cool things she has about like just different ways to look at video games culturally, etc. So that was awesome. And we are reading now Chris Bateman's Imaginary Games, which I like have an immediate aversion to because I feel like a lot of people talk about games as sort of a excuse to talk about what they really like. So without naming names, people talk about games so that they can really talk about art, or people talk about games mm-hmm. so they can really talk about music or something, right? So I started reading his book and I immediately was like, okay, you are talking about games because you really want to talk about philosophy. But I'm not super far into it, and from what I've been hearing from classmates who've been reading it, it does not go in that direction. So I was all prepared to come on and be like, I don't know about this nonsense, but I'm going to withhold my judgment until I get to the end of it. So it's kind of interesting so far, and I'm just waiting to get more into it. So there you go.
Yeah, Digitizing Race was 2008.
2008, okay.
Yeah.
It's even older than you thought.
Yeah, and I was trying to figure out if maybe you were thinking about, because she wrote Cyber Types, and that came out in like 2002, which was also about race, visual culture, and the internet. So, but yeah, it came out in 2008. We also read Digital Griots, which was another one that we read in.
That's
in,
right. Digital Griots was incredible.
Yeah. Adam Banks's book, Digital Griots. That is, it's new media theory from with an African American rhetoric slant, but it's definitely applicable in a number of different ways because it talks about orality and orality and storytelling in new media studies, and to the way that it gets described in terms of thinking about connections and thinking about history, it's easy to see how these things can be applied not only to kind of oral digital artifacts, but also kind of visual digital artifacts and other kinds of artifacts as well. And even thinking about how things get represented in games, if you want to take it specifically and directly to games, right? And it's a pretty awesome text. Did we lose Alex?
I'm sorry. I cut out for a second.
On purpose or by mistake?
No, by mistake. the last thing I heard is, it is, and then I didn't hear anything else. So what'd you say? It is what?
It's a pretty awesome book.
It's a pretty awesome text.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought I lost you. yeah, I thought it was really cool. His first book... I have no idea if that was his first book, Race, Rhetoric, and Technology.
Race, Rhetoric, and Technology was his first one, yeah.
So it was, I think we kind of came to this consensus in class. It was sort of like a general approach to what he was talking about. And this one was really specific and applicable and interesting. We have a class of people who criticize everything. I mean, really, don't they?
Yeah.
Not that I'm not part of it as well, but yes, they criticize the crap out of everything. And I don't think I really heard a negative thing. Sort of maybe like, I wish this was explored more. I wish this was explored more, you know, but,
mm-hmm.
It's a very enjoyable and enlightening read, for anyone interested in games at all. So, yeah.
So, yeah. And I mean, and I've been reading this basically the same stuff as Alex, because we're hitting the theory stuff really hard and heavy right now,
mm-hmm.
In that class. So it's not like you have tons of time to read other stuff. Anybody else got anything interesting they've been reading?
I stick to the blogs. That's all I have time for right now.
It's totally understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. Kotaku, Rock, Paper, Shotgun. That's all I do lately.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's go to the fun part. What you drinking?
Well, we all know what Alex is drinking.
Yeah, we know what Alex is drinking.
I know. I walked up and I was like, what am I drinking, guys? And everyone yelled.
Scotch.
Tonight, my little hors d'oeuvre platter looks like this. Scotch, which is the Glensalen variety, and Sour Patch Kids.
Oh my god, that's disgusting.
That sounds so rough.
Every person on this podcast can suck it for judging me.
Sour Patch Kids.
We suck things so hard each week, Nicole. Marie, I'm telling you.
Oh my god. That got really serious really quickly with that comment. But
she tells us that this is just how Minnesotans, you know, say hi in the morning. You know, she tells us some kind of jazz that this is just typical, but I don't know.
Oh my god.
I like eating Sour Patch Kids with my scotch because, like, I eat one and then I get super thirsty so I can drink the scotch faster. Because everyone who knows me knows what I need is to drink scotch faster than I already do. So that is why. But
you should
please
get the sour patch kids and then soak them in vodka for a while and then you'd be good.
So yeah. Micah gave me a little accidental slip about what he's getting me for my birthday, and what he's getting me for my birthday is bacon vodka.
Ugh.
Oh wow.
Okay, sounds disgusting, right? Think
yeah, but it's
bacon vodka
awesome.
in a Bloody Mary.
Oh.
I mean, you're not gonna get shot of it. That would be disgusting, but.
Maybe.
All right, anybody else?
Well, I have just Fresca.
Fresca?
Yeah. Fresca. Just plain Fresca.
Nice.
I'm cleaning up my act these days. Uh-huh. After you guys called me a 250 drunk almost one entire episode. That's all I heard about. Sarah, the 250 drunk.
I'm rocking the Michigan girl drink. I'm doing Verner's and rum.
Yes.
There you go, Verner's.
Verner's.
Yep, that's right. Verner's.
I am drinking Bell's Hop Slam.
Oh, you picked some up?
I picked up Hop Slam.
Hop Slam. When is it sneaky season again?
It's always sneaky season. Hop Slam, for the uninitiated, is the, when they call it Hop Slam, it is Hop Slam. And there's like on the label, there's this guy that's like sprawled out being crushed by this giant hop. And that is much what this beer is like. It's a double IPA. It is the hoppiest beer I have ever had. It's brewed with honey to try to kind of soothe some of that bitterness, which I guess it does maybe, but the thought that this is the soothed version would really scare me in terms of what this would taste like without the honey. It is a bitter beer, which is fine for me because, you know, I like extra bold dark coffee and dark chocolate, so bitter beer works for me just as well. And it's got like something crazy, like 10% alcohol. And it is, because it's a Bell's Ale, it's a Michigan girl drink as well, because it's brewed in Michigan.
All right. Just Michigan all around tonight.
It's Michigan. Yeah, it's got 10% alcohol. It's got 10% alcohol. It's one of Bell's winter brews. And I actually noticed it's unpasteurized, so you're supposed to keep it in a refrigerator.
Oh wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Sounds good.
It is quite tasty. Kind of pricey for
it's like $17, $18, right?
With tax and everything, it was like $20.
Yeah, I bought
it. For a six pack?
Yeah.
Six pack for Valentine's Day. But I like the Hop Killer. That is my favorite. That's the local
People's
Yep. Dipa. People's Hop Killer.
Yep.
It is good. Hop Killer's good.
For a special price lately, so if you like the Hop Killer, head on over there.
Yeah, because you've been able to get it for, well, you've even been able to get it for like $2 a pint
at Boiler Market. At Boiler Market. Mondays.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, we're big on microbrews around here. All right. Or who we call them, craft brews.
Mm, that sounds classy.
Anyway.
I'm just trying to have audience interaction. This has got real quiet.
As I'm drinking the 10% alcohol beer, as I have like 6 of them, I might just be like screaming at people in the next half an hour or so.
But I bet you'll be getting some sleep.
No, I won't. No. I already tried that. All right. Next up is news. And I'm going to jump in for a second and say we got some pretty interesting news stuff. But for the sake of time, I think that there's one news story that's probably going to take up a huge bit of our discussion.
Are we 45 minutes in already?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is completely out of control. See, Nicole, this is what I'm saying.
Maybe we should just devote our rest of our podcast to this news and do our subject next time.
No. Oh, okay. I think we can do it.
Okay.
I love you so much.
They never go anywhere. I know.
No.
She just says no.
No. I love it.
I think we can do both. I'm just saying. Because the topic that we've chosen to talk about is not a time capsule, so I think we'll be good for talking about it because it's not going to take forever to talk about.
Yeah, I think it's really quick.
But I think that the elephant in the room is the thing we're going to have to talk about because we want to, and because Alex Lane wrote this incredible post about it today, and posted it on the blog. And if you haven't seen it yet, definitely go check it out.
It is on fire right now.
It is on fire right now.
6 hours, it's had like 150 hits.
Yes,
it is OC. Wow.
Yeah, good one.
Okay.
Thank you, Sam, for forcing me, literally forcing and bribing me to write that today.
No problem.
So go ahead, I'm sorry.
You mean OC? Do you mean off the chain?
No.
Oh, okay.
How old are you, Sarah?
No, I just said. That's what she said, that's what Samantha told us, it was off the chain.
Yeah, it means out of control.
Out of control.
Oh,
In her case, that's what it means. So, Alex, why don't you go ahead and throw it out there and tell us about it because you wrote the post.
Oh, okay. So, there is a. I don't even know where to start. Do I start at the interview? So
that's this way.
2006, right?
Yep.
A writer from BioWare was interviewed about. You know, like writing and they asked her a bunch of different questions and recently that interview resurfaced heavily edited and she basically got in the center of a shitstorm because of it. So there's these two things that she said during the interview that were taken out of context. One is that the out of context version is the following. I don't like playing games, one, and two, games shouldn't have combat. This crazy out of context. What she really said was, one, I'm about to have a baby, so I find the demands of the number of hours that I'm expected to play these games to be a writer for this game company overwhelming right now. So that's the most difficult part of my job. Okay. And then two, she said that she loves writing. How dare she? Right? How dare she be a writer and love writing? But she's a writer, right? And that's why she got into games, because she loves writing. And so she said that she loves the narrative of the game and she finds the combat, like, sort of too, I don't know if it was too challenging. I don't remember exactly what she said, but it takes time consuming. So it takes her out of the story.
And she also said that another thing that she said is that she was asked, you know, basically, how can we get more women into gaming? And she said, if we were able to kind of fast forward through some of the content and through the combat and focus more on the content, make it more narrative heavy, we'll be able to draw in more new gamers and women. Is what she said. It was another thing that she said.
Right. Exactly. That's a good point. So it wasn't changing the gameplay for anybody else, but like making this more widely attractive for multiple different people, right?
Well, yeah, she was saying that this should function the same as like a movie. You can fast forward through a movie, you know, so you should be able to fast forward sure. through parts of a game. Yeah.
And you fast forward through story elements yeah. for people right. who like the combat. Mm-hmm. So this interview got put up on 4chan 2, aka Reddit, right? Yep. And right. People went absolutely crazy, called her mute. If someone adorably is listening to this with their daughter, which I know we have at least one listener who does that, you can mute this next part. Calls her fat cunt, obese bitch, etc., etc., etc. The cancer, calls her the cancer of the gaming industry, and all of these horrible things that that even the most creative mind, I think, is not depraved enough to think of.
Right.
And in fact, she
they even start getting into ethnic and racial slurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she had to delete her newly opened Twitter account because she just opened it a couple weeks ago. And is just getting it from all of the internet right now. All of these crazy insults because she is the cancer on BioWare. She is what is bringing down all these games, and she is responsible for the suckage of Mass Effect 3, according to all of these people, even though she didn't even work on those games, right? Like, there's three or four games she's worked on.
Right. Yeah, I think they were Dragon Age and...
Dragon Age Origins, they were right. complaining about her in Dragon Age 2 because of how much Dragon Age 2 sucked. But she was managing editor on Dragon Age Origins, and everybody loved that one. Mm. So clearly she can't suck too much because they love that fucking game. So
this isn't a fucking logical argument, right?
Well,
right. Well, no, not only that, I think the other thing about it...
Oh, no, did I cut out?
Something happened. I lost Nicole.
Oh, I'm still here. I can hear everyone.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So go ahead. Keep going. What were you saying?
Well, they were just... The worst part is that they were talking about the gen...
We just lost Nicole.
Or it was like, why it was...
I am just, like, dying to hear what she has to say now.
I know! Right when Nicole, like, really fires it up, it's like... Burr!
Right. It's like, gone. The worst part about it is... But... Okay, let's try it one more time, Nicole.
Take three.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. I was just upset because they pulled her gender into it and created an issue out of that.
Right.
And the fact that as soon as she stood up for herself and the fact that she was a female in an industry where, you know, positions in the industry are coveted, that they were like, well, you're a female and you can't do that job and you shouldn't be there anyways.
You're a cancer.
Yeah, you're a cancer in the industry.
I think you're exactly right. Like, it wasn't... I think you had said this before we started recording, Nicole, that if she had been a man, like she's getting on the shit for standing up for herself. Like, you can't do that on the internet or people will attack you, right? Let's blame the victim. Right. And I think, Nicole, you had said before we started recording, if a man had done it, you'd be like, wow, that's a good set of balls that guy has for standing up for himself.
Right. It's the same kind of... crazy shit that they say when women get raped, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if she didn't want to get raped, she shouldn't have worn that, right? If she didn't want to get attacked, she shouldn't have been a woman working in the games industry.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
I mean, and it's just absolutely fucking insane, you know, and they want to say, oh, well, she brought up the fact that she was a woman. No, her comeback came from the fact that she was being attacked.
Her hilarious comeback.
That she was being attacked about who she was as a person, which includes being a woman. So she came back with that hilarious comeback that says, you know, I'm being attacked because one, I have a vagina, and two, I have a job in the games industry. And those are two things that you will never have.
Which is so good.
I thought it was hilarious. So good.
Well, do you think that a lot of the people that are making these comments are not quite 20 years old?
You know what? It doesn't matter. I hate this line of argumentation. And I've gotten into a fight on the blog with people about this before. They say, well, it doesn't matter. It's just a bunch of angsty virgins. Well,
no, I don't say it doesn't matter. No.
I know that's not what you're saying. But, like, it doesn't... Like, I feel like people, the culture at large, has this idea that... Well, they're just trolls. They're just kids. Like, but that is not... I don't think that's the case. This is, like, a seriously violent problem that manifests in like physical abuse against women in the industry, that manifests in women not getting jobs, that manifests in all of these like very real ways. Like, it doesn't matter if half the people doing this are 16 to me. It doesn't matter because the outcome's the same. Like, there is en masse hate against these women who are trying to stand up for themselves, who are trying to like carve out a place in this industry.
Right.
And the culture is like so, supportive, I guess you would say. They enable it so much, this type of behavior, that just it becomes this horrible place to try and exist in, you know? And I think that people see these, that people are like, just trolls, you know?
Well, you know what I think might be even a different line of rationale there, Alex, is yes, you're going to, you know, you put anything on the Yahoo News and you'll see a bunch of stupid ass comments. You know what I mean? Like the trolls again. But what is more disturbing perhaps to me is not that these are maybe a bunch of adolescents doing immature comments, but you don't have any sort of significant figure in the gaming industry standing up for her, right?
Well,
you have
that one woman or something.
No, the studio GM at BioWare in Edmonton actually stood up for her on Twitter and said, "You guys are a bunch of fucking morons. Okay. You need to go fuck yourself."
Yep.
Yes.
Well, and BioWare actually also donated a bunch of money to a bullying charity in Canada in her name.
Yeah.
As well.
Okay. Well, Destructoid, which is like the most sexist outlet in gaming, I think one of the worst. Even though the writer was sort of misguided, who wrote the article about it was pretty defensive of her, right?
Yeah, I thought so.
Surprisingly defensive of her.
Yeah, for Destructoid.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, but that's positive, right? Positive that there's numbers of...
It's certainly positive for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, like, this is the first time, maybe, Nicole, you might be able to know more than I do about this, but this is one of the first times that I've seen the industry sort of rallying around a woman who's been attacked.
Definitely.
It seems to me,
yeah,
they usually,
yeah,
they,
it definitely is the first time I've seen it, because I even know about some of the a personal connection that I have in the industry. She is like a very slim and pretty girl, and she gets trolls all the time talking about how she's just a pretty face for the company, and they will never
win.
Yeah, exactly. And they never come to her aid on that at all. They just tell her that she needs to deal with it on her own. And it's unfortunate because she is a woman in the industry and they should be behind her and they should be saying, you know, this is a choice we made to hire her. And that's why, like, she works here because she's good at this job.
Right.
And she deserves this job.
Right. I mean, because BioWare flat out came out and say she's been working for us for a lot of years. She's done great work, you know, and that is why we are behind her. We are behind her 100% in her name. We are contributing X number of dollars to Bullying Canada because we think what's been going on with her being personally attacked is a bunch of bullshit. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we need more companies to stand up and do that kind of thing. I mean, that is why, I mean, and people want to say it's not the same thing. It's the very same thing. It is the nature of the beast. That is why we have 3 in 10 women going to tech conferences and being sexually assaulted.
Right.
I mean, there's a direct connection because there is no respect for women in the industry. I mean, it is, there is this constant feeling that women aren't supposed to be here. And because they are here, because they have the fucking nerve to be here in the first place, they deserve whatever the fuck they get.
Either that or they become objects as part of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is, that certainly is not an innocent part of all of this. It is completely wrapped up in the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm mad.
I think we all are. Yeah.
Scotch.
No, but scotch. I'm very happy that like the GM took a stance and he said something. And it's unfortunate that the guy who he actually directly responded to on Twitter is now taking a campaign against them and saying, "Oh, I have hurt feelings." And
I have hurt feelings.
What did you do to a woman?
What is wrong with you?
And that just goes to show the maturity level of the people who are making these comments. But at the same time, that doesn't mean we should disregard them completely.
You know, and people are like, "Oh, BioWare doesn't respect its customers." Why? Because BioWare is standing up for their fucking employees. You know, and people are like, "Well, the guy called us fucking morons." and said we should go fuck ourselves. You know what? I applaud the guy saying you're fucking morons and saying you should go fuck yourself. Because, you know, as someone who is in charge of other people who are in positions that often get kind of relegated to those who are in, who have no power, I applaud people who stand up and say, you know what? Fuck you. Because they need someone to say fuck you for them.
And like I know from being my boss, like the feeling that somebody has your back, especially when you're in like a vulnerable position, that means so much. And like that completely dictates some of my behavior and my confidence and what I'm able to accomplish, because I know that someone's going to stand up and say, fuck you.
Show your ass because you think I'm going to tell people, fuck you.
So I do all these really inappropriate illegal things. And I'm like, suck it. Sam will back me. No. But you know what I mean? Like knowing she's going to back me up dictates my behavior a little, right? Like that helps me be the best whatever teacher.
You know that your community is behind you.
Right, exactly. So the fact that he did this and sort of took a stance and was like, okay, well, you know what? I'm sorry you're a customer, but if you're going to be a sexist asshole, then fuck you. That seems reasonable to me.
Sexist and racist, yeah. And racist, because they've also, not only brought up the fact that she's a woman, but now they've started to call her, you know, Jewish bitches, Jewish cunts, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I didn't know if that dude had. I didn't want
to. Yeah, no, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It is horrible. Especially because then they took that picture of her. And they manipulated the text on it to say something else. I don't remember what it said, but it was
Amber
just...
Helper.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, it's things like that that makes the gaming community, like, look down upon even as well, because people look at them as immature idiots, and they're just proponents of that message, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Angry, no, I'm like, Alex, I'm pissed off.
I know, angry. Someone give me a wall to punch right now.
You don't have that specified wall in your house?
Well, this is why I usually...
has a number of holes in it.
This is why
she
I usually...
Samantha pay... does, yeah.
This is why I usually play poker with like 10 other dudes on Thursday night, so I could take everybody's money. And then by the time we record the podcast, I feel much less angry. So I just took a bunch of people's money. I'm like, yeah, at least I have $50 in my pocket.
The whole thing with that woman is just crazy, because like you said, this is an interview that was done, what, 6 years ago now?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, come on.
That's a long time
ago. Yeah.
About five and a half, 6 years, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be pissed off with her, you'd be pissed off with her the fact she's a game developer who says that...
Well, it's coinciding with the release of Mass Effect 3 in their story mode, right?
Right. That's exactly why I think that it's come up again, is that because now they're actually releasing a game where you can not necessarily fast forward through the combat, but now you can play in the mode that makes combat less at the center. Excuse me. And, you know, and people want to say, no, it's because their games suck that this has happened. That last Dragon Age,
games,
you know, people were disappointed in. Okay, but here's the thing. Is Rockstar's been doing this shit since Red Dead.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. That is a very good point.
Nobody has said anything. Nobody came out and said, you know, hey, you emasculating epithet man, you fucked up our games. Because you fucked up our games because you give people the ability to fast forward through a section of the game that they can't do, or you give people the ability to, like in L.A. Noire, not drive yourself but actually be driven by your partner. Because you know, isn't that what these games are all about? Isn't that what, you know, kind of Grand Theft Auto and the other Rockstar games have been all about? And when you had to travel, is that was part of the game? That was part of the challenge, was to drive yourself.
I don't know. I know so many gamers
men don't like maps.
I know so many gamers, like especially men, who hated that. So you'd have to drive for 15 minutes before you even got to whatever it was you were supposed to do. And then if you failed, you had to go back through and redrive that every time.
Right.
Like, people... I realize that having more of a story mode may bring in a lot more women, but I don't think it's necessarily, like... I feel like if there was a story mode, there would be plenty of, you know, all sorts of different types of people who would use it, right?
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is like, what, 6 years ago now, she basically predicted the way that games are going to be now. Right. I just think that, why are we putting her down for something that's obviously been like the evolutionary track of games to getting more gamers into video games? For sure.
I mean, she has, I mean, clearly she has her finger not on the pulse of gamers, but also on the pulse of games. Because she was able to say this, you know, 5.5, 6 years ago, this is where gamers are going to go. This is how we're going to bring more gamers in. And people don't understand that she's doing the thing that her company needs her to do, which is increase their population, increase their customer base, right? Sell more fucking games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys can be angry and call her whatever names you want. 70% of the money that gets spent on a game is spent by a woman. Mm-hmm. Whether that's someone buying a game for themselves or for their whatever. But 70 cents of every dollar that gets spent by a woman. So
yeah.
I feel like she's not off the, you know, she's not off the chain. Or wait, no, she is off the chain. She's not off track, right?
No, she's not.
Oh. You are funny.
Off the chain.
We need to skip the rest of our news and do our thing quickly. Or two? Do we have three issues to talk about?
No, we're only going to talk about one.
Oh, I liked both of. I liked the first two.
Well, we'll do these. We'll do the second one later.
Okay.
So, our issue of the week is not really an issue, but more of a question that that we collaboratively, the four of us, thought about before we started, right? And the question was basically, is if you were going to be deserted on an island for the rest of your life, and you could only play one game. What would it be and why?
I heard the ice tinkling. Excuse me for my puppy noises again. They were quiet.
Every time I take a drink, I usually mute it quick so I can, like, drink without you guys hearing the ice. But
without sounding like an episode of Mad Men?
I feel like... excellent reference. But I feel like my mute button is not working very well tonight, so we'll see what happens when I re-listen to this. I'm sorry. Please continue. I decline to speak first.
I have a question. So in this, can we pick a series or it has to be just one single game?
That was exactly my question.
Ugh. One single game. Okay. That changes my answer.
Mine too.
Oh, well,
I know what I would say, but it's the game that I dare not speak its name.
Are you fucking kidding?
No,
Sarah, save yourself.
I'm kidding. That is not what I would pick. Because I can't play a game with friends if I'm by myself.
Oh my god. Somewhere in the world, Sam buys a knife and starts stabbing a wall. She doesn't know why, but she keeps carving W over and over and over. Listen to that laugh. You're having a nervous breakdown right fucking now on the podcast, aren't you? Why would you say that? So what would you
because
really
I'm your child.
All right, we're gonna ignore Sarah altogether right now.
No, but I have a game.
Well, you can't go first. Guests have to go first.
Oh, I know.
You got yelled at.
Let's do it.
Nicole Marie.
All right, so I thought about this for a while, and I had to decide. And I think it's just because I'm playing it currently. And you guys could totally fight me on this, but it'd have to be Skyrim right now because I've dedicated so many hours of my life to playing it, and I'm not upset with that. So I think if I was on a deserted island, I would be totally okay with just sitting around playing Skyrim for a while.
Do you think there's enough like depth that it would keep you? I haven't been playing Skyrim, but is there enough depth that could like keep you going that you'd be able to do it over and over and over again?
Not necessarily depth, but I was also thinking of, like, there's got to be a point when you're dehydrated and you have to be doing, like, the same thing over and over.
food deprived.
So the combat in Skyrim would definitely work for that. Like, it couldn't be too complicated, but something that kept my mind interested so I didn't just, like, totally crap out on dehydration and hallucinations.
Sam, do we have achievements to unlock in this scenario?
The achievements that come with the game, yes.
Okay, all right.
So you can get your achievements and trophies and what have you. Okay. I like that idea. I like that idea. And I'm going to jump in here because Nicole said Skyrim. And mm-hmm. I was really torn between, even though I'm really in love with Kingdoms of Amalur right now, I wouldn't want to play that for the rest of my life because there isn't enough depth to the game. Mm-hmm. Right? It is very much, it satisfies the run and gun in me. Mm-hmm. Right. And there are very few repercussions because I think that, you know, I've been playing that game for probably 30, 40 hours already. And I think maybe I've died once or twice.
Interesting.
It's not that I'm just that good at it. I just think that the game makes it really difficult for me to die because you have abilities. Cause I'm playing the jack of all trades. So mm-hmm. I'm a little bit of magic and a little bit of might and a little bit of finesse. So I got a little bit of everything going on. So, you know, I've got my, fey blades, which are my kind of fairy daggers is what they kind of are, but they're these huge, there's the huge knives and one in each hand. So I can like sneak up and like disembowel a motherfucker and keep running before he even knows he's dead. But then at the same time, I've got the, chakram. So I can like take people out with my spinning dragon blades from like 30, 40 feet away without ever getting close. But then I can, if I want to, I can also switch to like a long sword. But you know, what I'm saying is I can just go in. And then I also have my magic abilities. So when I start to die, then I can just start blasting people with, you know, with magic balls and then they die anyway. And then I can fate shift and then kill everybody because it slows everybody down. I never have to die because they give me too many resources for me to have to die. But it, that also doesn't give me, it gives me fun, but it doesn't give me the challenge. Mm. Skyrim gives me the challenge. And the lore is great in Kingdoms of Amalur. I love the lore. Like, you know, Sarah was complaining because she said it felt too much like the Lord of the Rings. But
I like my impression.
Which is the most confusing insult ever.
Right. It's like,
no, it's too much like some of the best books ever written.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, there was a sword and there's a fight and there's a bad. I don't know.
Just, That's in every fantasy.
You just described the most awesome scene ever.
You guys just hate me. Just say it. T-shirt should just say, "We hate Sarah."
I feel like we can criticize your attitude towards fantasy without you as a human being.
Right.
Okay.
So
you're wrong. We still like you. How about that?
I'll buy it.
I'm sorry.
So But, you know, so the lore is great and it's deep and the narrative plays out in the gameplay. But see, if I chose to play Skyrim, because I was torn between Skyrim and Oblivion, and I like Skyrim. Skyrim is an improvement over Oblivion in terms of gameplay for me, in terms of graphics, and even in terms of some of the narrative. As the narrative starts to unfold more and more, I'm seeing that I like the depth of the narrative a bit more than I did Oblivion. And I put like easily 100+ hours into Oblivion. Mm-hmm. So I can see me easily doing that plus in Skyrim. The reason I'm not playing Skyrim right now more than anything else is probably because I haven't slept. And I don't want to keep getting killed over and over again because I don't know that I have the mental capacity to play Skyrim right now. But if I didn't have shit else to play for the rest of my life, I would definitely choose Skyrim. Mm.
Yeah. That's definitely where I'm at.
Wow.
I like it. Is Sarah still banished? Should I go next?
No, Sarah's not banished. I just didn't let Sarah go first because the guest was supposed to go first.
The guest has to go first.
Yeah, take that. Okay, you can go.
Well, I'll go.
If she says words with friends, I want you to hang up on it.
I'm going
to
judge everything you say, though.
Listen, hey, I take it back. I thought about this too. I pondered long and hard. Not like Nicole Marie, where she thought about dehydration and starvation and hallucinating. I didn't go that far into it. Yeah, that was pretty intense. But like, I thought of the games that I've played, and there is one game that I have repeatedly played over and over, and that's why it also makes me so interested in Kingdoms of Amalur, is God of War. I just liked its challenges. I liked that they were challenging, but not to the point where you wanted to just like throw your controller out the window. You know what I mean? Like sometimes some of these games, I'm like, fuck me. You know, I just want to have fun. I don't want to have to spend like 5 hours just to progress the narrative. You know, you want to have a challenge, but not to the point where it's ridiculous. And I like God of War. I have played it through probably about 5 times anyway, just starting from the top and going straight through. It's fun because of the challenges.
What is happening?
Is that me? You're talking about the animals?
Yeah, there's a crazy sound. I thought it was like, I thought it was like the Three Stooges fighting.
There is like a dog chihuahua fight between a 1 pound and a 2 pound, and they have been quiet all night. But
at least you've kept your pants zipped up, but continue, please.
Well, sure. As far as you need to know. So, anyway, yeah. God of War is what I'd pick because I do like the gameplay. I like it, and I think it probably offers a lot of the same things as these other games in terms of... It's just fun to battle, and they have fun things to battle.
Battle's good. Battle's very important.
Yeah, and I can see myself playing it over and over and over because I have. So I guess I got to go with God of War.
I like it. I have a further clarification question.
Okay.
Do we have the internet?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I have two choices.
No. If we don't have the internet.
If we had the internet, I would have picked WoW.
As you said, no WoW.
Yeah, no, there's no MMORPGs. It's you're on a deserted island. You have no fucking internet. Wi-Fi does not reach that far.
Okay. A simple no would have sufficed, but thank you for yelling
at me.
We're
not on a resort here.
I haven't had enough people yell at me today. I appreciate that.
It's not like the professor cooking up a coconut Wi-Fi.
I feel like if I had all my entire life, I could figure out some Wi-Fi. But okay, so my answer would have been, WoW, for obvious reasons, if we had had the internet, because it's so insanely diverse. But okay, so my answer is probably not a shock to anybody, Civilization V.
Oh, I knew it.
I thought about choosing Civ 2, because it was the first Civ I ever played. And then I thought about playing Civ 1, because that took, I think it was my 8th grade year. I'm not totally sure, but it took my entire year away. And I really loved it. But I feel like Civ 5 has the best balance of any of the ones I've played. They've taken out a lot of their sort of more questionable, offensive-y stuff over the iterations and tried to be more culturally accurate and in-depth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, as far as the... Like, I'm not going to be sitting there getting mad at the sexism in Civ 5, right? Like, I'm not on the desert island. It's diverse. There's a ton of different characters that I can play over and over. You can win in a multitude of ways. So I feel like if I had to burn, you know, 40 years playing one thing, that's what I kept thinking about. Like, day after day after day, since I was in, you know, fifth grade, what game have I been going back to play over and over and over and over? And that's the Civilization series. If you can't choose a series, Civ 5. That's one choice.
Nice.
That is a good choice. Because you could definitely, there's so many different scenarios you could play out.
Uh-huh.
And it would still be interesting.
Right. And I mean, there's what, like 30 different leaders. Each one of those can win 5 different ways on 5 different settings.
Right.
You know, you can play, I think you could play for a long time. So, and that's just resource management, and building up, like, your sort of area is the two things that I love 100% the most in games. So, there you go. Cool. I know that makes me sound lame, because there's no swords, but whatever.
There's no swords. That's
well,
so
there's
lame.
Swordsmen and spearsmen. You just don't see them. You don't get to use them.
Yeah.
But they're there.
That's true. They are there. That's true.
Yeah, they are there.
They're there.
Yeah. I like the strategy of setting up the swordsmen rather than, like, the actual battle. But, yeah. Okay.
Awesome. See, that wasn't so painful.
That wasn't painful at all. I actually thoroughly enjoyed your guys' answers.
It was well thought out.
I missed my Indie Game of the Week, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, you did.
Indie Game of the Week.
We skipped it. Do you want to do it next week?
No, let's go ahead and do it.
It's actually probably pretty pertinent right now. My Indie Game of the Week is Realm of the Mad Dog. I had the perfect three games that it was like a combination of. It's kind of like old school Zelda games where you're like walking through the different rooms, right? It's also sort of like Frayed Knights. That's a newer but retro game in like the style and sort of the like just the movement, like the movement that your hands have to like make on the keyboard and the mouse and stuff. And then what was the other one? I should have written this down. Anyway, it's like a, what do you call Zelda? Like, it's not a side scroller, right? It's like a,
like where it's a you dungeon move. Crawler.
Yeah, dungeon crawler, yeah, but it's not like 3D. It's like you have the aerial view, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you go and you like go around. It has the old retro design, but I don't know. Like, I sort of like how they've been like Frayed Knights did, and sort of like how Binding of Isaac did, how they've been redoing the older style of games that are retro, even Terraria, I guess, that are retro, but they sort of take this newer spin on it and make it more interesting. The reason why Realm of the Mad Dog is pertinent to play right now, the one reason I follow an indie game website and they were like, okay, for all you idiots who won't get a game unless it's on Steam, go get Realm of the Mad Dog because it's awesome and it's finally on Steam. So I was like, oh, that's me. I'm sad now, but that's okay. So I went and got it, and it's free to play. The thing that's cool about this is that it's an MMO also. So, like, eventually, as you play on, you run into other people, and you're supposed to... I think they call it an MMO FPS dungeon crawler, is how they described it, I believe. But it's not that, so whatever. But, you, like, go on, and you play co-op with other people. So imagine, like, co-op Zelda, right? Like, it's kind of sweet. So... Hmm. So yeah, it's not my style of game, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I very much expect to be playing that instead of doing the reading for Sam's class. So there you go.
It was very cool. I got a chance to play just a couple minutes of it, and I enjoyed it quite a bit, actually. It was really cool.
Is that like your type of game? Because it's a very specific, I think. Like
it is a very specific kind of game, but it was definitely, it made me feel like... when I was, I don't even know what age I want to say, but, like, when I was 10 again,
mm-hmm.
and I was playing more of the, like, 8-bit, like, Zelda.
Oh, no.
That I could have played.
Yeah. You were, like, more of the 8-bit, like, Zelda that I could have played, because you cut out.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry. No, it felt like a stand-up arcade game.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It probably would be fun if you had, like a LAN party or something. I bet that would be really an awesome game to play.
That would be really awesome, definitely.
Yeah, I very much recommend people to try it out. Plus, it's free. What do you got to lose?
I know, you can't. Yeah, there's nothing to lose.
Nice.
All right. Well, great. Yeah. So now it's time for our Deals for Broke-Ass Gamers.
Do you want me? I put them on there. Someone else can read them. I've been talking a lot.
So you think?
I will read them.
Joking.
Okay, so Realm of the Mad Dog on Steam is free to play. On Steam also, Deus Ex, not Day of Sex, but Deus Ex, which has gotten me in trouble. 66% off, so it's $10.19. That's cheap. If you haven't played it...
The new one, Human
Revolution.
Revolution, I was like, not Revelations, that's Resident Evil.
Yeah, that's Resident Evil. Yeah, the new one. It's, even though, like, a lot of people didn't dig the game, it's an iconic game, right? So,
yeah, it definitely $10,
you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah, Mirror's Edge is 75% off. What the what? $5. Also can't go wrong, I think, right?
Right.
It's a great deal. And then the Serious Sam Complete Pack is 66% off. Their little individuals are off as well. 66% off for $28.90. That I imagine you can go wrong with. I don't know. I've never played it. Has anybody? Mm-mm. Serious Sam?
Nope.
So I don't know. And then Good Old Games is all their D&D games are buy one, get one free.
So that's nice.
Cool. I thought that was pretty sweet, too.
So those are all real good deals.
Yeah. I thought so, too. So they must be, like, coming off of their Christmas high. You know how they didn't have too good of deals for a few weeks, and now they're back on, so.
That will definitely keep you busy.
Yeah, it will.
Crazy. All right. Well, that actually brings us to the end of this episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast. Thank you, ladies, for joining us for yet another. And thank you to Nicole for joining us as a guest host this week. And we hope to see you back.
I hope to be back.
Oh, so we didn't drive her away.
I think all you have to do is bring donuts.
Bring donuts and all is good.
I feel like there was shame in that day because of how many donuts and how much chili and how much Indian soup was eaten. But Nicole assured me that there was no shame in the day. So there you
go. No shame.
That's not bad. Contact us. Thank you. if you would like to send us questions, comments, rant and rave at us, please feel free to email us at nymgamer@gmail.com.
But remember, some of us are more sensitive than others.
Yes, remember, Alex is a wussy. You can also feel free to send us an MP3, ask us a question, we'll play it on the air. You can feel free to talk to us about the next time we're going to podcast. You can come in, ask us a question, get an answer, and debate with us for a few moments if the need arises. And just contact us at our email address. You can also follow us on Twitter at NYMGamer. You can like us on Facebook. Just look for Not Your Mama's Gamer. We are there. Like us. And you'll get little kind of Facebook updates as well as receive information about when the latest blog post has gone up. We also post that to Twitter. So if you follow us on Twitter, you'll also know when our next really brilliant blog posts go up. You wouldn't have missed the fact that that Alex's blog post on the whole BioWare fiasco went up today.
Also, you came up with the title. I feel like I haven't given you props for that yet. It is a hilarious title.
Yes. Oh. It was nice. It was nice.
It was good.
That had 0% to do with me. That was all Sam.
Well, thank you.
Collaboration.
Buy our t-shirt.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Buy a t-shirt. Go to the Not Your Mama's Gamer website, which is nymgamer.com. And check out the photos of Alex doing her heroic poses in the spiffy Not Your Mama's Gamer t-shirts. I think we still have sizes medium through 2X. Excuse me. Excuse me. I should have muted that. So send us a message. Talk to us about which t-shirts you want, how many you want, because you want lots of them to give them to all your friends and family.
Easter's coming up.
Easter's, there you go.
Stuff nothing Easter says Easter like something that Alex Lane is a part of.
The devil.
We're happy to send them to you in a timely manner. I think that's about it. Like I said, thanks again for joining us for this, our 29th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast. So until next time, folks, stay safe. Don't be a douchebag. And as always, game on.
Game on.